91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. We begin with the story of one of Miami-Dade Public School's most prized gems, the Design and Architecture High School. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Informally known as DASH, the Design and Architecture High School is a magnet secondary school in the heart of Miami's Design District. It's nationally renowned. And we'll visit with the DASH principal, Dr. Stacy Mancuso. And more, Linda Gastenheimer has a behind-the-scenes look at a unique Miami Beach restaurant. It's called Dirt, but it's clean eating, from farm to counter food and affordable. Of course, wine columnist Fred Tasker joins us as well. So stay with us, Topical Currents, after the news. And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We begin today's edition with a look at top-notch arts and design education offered by Miami-Dade County Public Schools.
Our focus is on the prestigious Design and Architecture Senior High School, usually called DASH. It's in the Miami Design District, just a bit up the road from our studios.
Architecture, industrial design, and entertainment tech studies are taught.
But then there are fashion, visual communications, and fine arts curricula as well. These are offered to talented, select students.
And we're joined now by the principal of DASH, Dr. Stacy Mancuso. Welcome to you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. What an honor.
Well, welcome. Good to have you. I just want to throw out a few numbers before we begin, okay? In 2014, U.S. News and World Report ranked DASH as the 19th best high school in the nation out of 31,000, third best high school in the state of Florida out of 687, and the eighth best magnet high school out of 269. So congratulations.
Thank you. Third best.
Some people might not know what a magnet school is.
A magnet school is a school on its own, or a school with program within a larger school that specializes in a certain field.
And where you live doesn't matter where you go.
No, right. In many cases. There are different parameters for different schools.
Well, let's begin with a little about you, Dr. Mancuso, your background and how you came to be an educator.
Well, I'm from New York City. I came here over 30 years ago. I came here for love, the love of my late husband, Tom Myroba, who was one of the heads of the art department at New World School of the Arts. And he said, come to Miami, leave New York. And I did. And because of that, we stayed, and we had quite a monopoly on the art education system in Miami-Dade County. And I'm very proud of that monopoly. He was at New World, I was at DASH. We were at competing schools, and we stayed married.
Lucky you.
Yes.
But your background is in the arts.
Yes, yes. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Sculpture, and I have two MFAs. When I moved to New York to be a thriving artist, I found I was somewhat of a starving artist. And so I started teaching as an adjunct at Columbia and Riverdale Country Day School. I did not teach John Kennedy. He was before my time. But I found that this was an incredible passion for me. Teaching art was really what I was meant to do, along with making art. I don't believe that you can teach art without making art, and making good art, too.
Let's talk about some of the DASH kids. It's quite a dream for most of them to get into the school.
Ah, the DASH kids are the best kids in the world. Let me tell you about these children. They come from all ranks. They come from all cultures. socioeconomic status. They come from everywhere. They come from all of Miami-Dade County and a few from Broward. And they come because they want to be there. They are driven. I don't mean driven in a car. I mean driven by two buses and a metro rail. They leave early, get home late. They go to school an hour and a half longer than anybody else. They want to be at a school like Dash. And they are willing to make the sacrifice to do that.
How difficult is it to get in to Dash? What is the enrollment versus the number of applicants you get yearly?
Well, at this point, we have 500 applicants for 150 spaces. The deadline is Friday.
By the way, it
is very important that you know that. The deadline is Friday. Come to the school. We'll help you do the application if you need that help.
You mean tomorrow or a week from tomorrow?
January 15th, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes. And once you pass that deadline, that's it. You have to wait another year. But your question again?
Well, it was, first of all, the total enrollment and how difficult it is to get in.
This is how I explain it to the anxious parents sitting in front of me at our orientation. There are many good magnet schools in this county. If you are meant to be at Dash, you will be there. And if you're meant to be at one of the other magnets, you will be there.
And how does Dash's enrollment compare to the other magnet schools?
We have 550 students. It depends. There are magnet programs within very large schools, and there are schools like New World and MAST were somewhat comparable. MAST has now changed its formula, so they are double the size of us. But New World and Dash are pretty much the same in their composition.
So what would you say? Would you say that it's size, the fact that the students, you say that if they're there, they want to be there. Would you say it's that motivation that's led to such success at Dash?
Yes. Not only do they want to be there, they want to stay there. It's not only what we do at Dash. It's what happens after. Our students, our 125 graduates, go to the finest art and design colleges in the country. Many of them go for free. Some of them go to med school or pre-med, and we encourage that. About 20% of our students don't go into the arts, and that happens because along the way they love it, but they choose another direction. Now, you should never come to Dash to get to med school because there's too much art involved. It's just too much. It's too hard. On Friday afternoon, I watch them walk out the door, and I say, God bless you, really. You've worked so hard. And you would have to want that life of artistry. You give up much to come to Dash. You give up friends, play. You don't give up family, because Dash is a family, and your family needs to be involved. And let me talk a little bit about another reason for our success. We have great students. We have parents who have supported their enrollment in Dash, and it is a big sacrifice.
When you say it's a big sacrifice, what do you mean?
Oh, well, they have to, their child gets up at 5, leaves at 5:15, and gets home at 6, and has a ton of work to do. So it's a family encounter. We have, by far, and I've worked at several schools, both private and public, the finest staff, faculty and staff, that I have ever encountered in my life. They are dedicated. They are knowledgeable. They are collaborative in their belief that Dash is there for a reason, to create the world's new designers. And they work to that end together. And it is that togetherness. And also, they're small. We have 50 on the staff, 33 teachers. And if we need to talk to each other about an issue, we get into a room and talk. And, you know, we don't hold back. That's always been my philosophy.
Well, that's good. I mean, the communication, sure.
Yes.
How important or how germane is the location of Dash to the mission of Dash?
Oh. Every day, they walk through, thank you, Craig Robbins, a Mark Newson fence that he put at the front of the school so that our students would walk through the best design in the world to come into the school. Beyond that, they have internships all over the design district. I get calls saying our students are better than some employees because they're there because they want to be. They do incredible things in architecture firms, in showrooms, in couture houses. They do the work of professionals in their junior and senior year.
What sort of events each year does DASH hold?
Well, we have, at the beginning of the year, one fundraiser to help the school, to help the PTSA. It's called Taste of Design. It is fabulous. Everybody says it's Miami's best party. And
what's PTSA?
Parent-Teacher-Student Association.
Okay.
And together with the advisory board, and that is something that I established of professionals in the fields of our majors, would come together and really give us some good advice. But they get together and do Taste of Design, and it is a wonderful event that showcases the student work, but at the same time throws a fabulous event to show the joy of DASH. I can say nothing more. And it raises money for the PTA so they can enhance the school. We have a fashion show that is sold out before the tickets go on sale. It's extraordinary. People walk out saying, those are students. I feel like I was at Fashion Week.
So the clothes were designed by the students.
Yes. And the models are the students. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event. We have a senior showcase, which at the end of the year, the seniors say, okay, this is what I do. It's terrific. We have the Phantom Film Festival, which has sort of traveled around town. It's been at New World Symphony. It's been at Tower Theater. And it shows the films that the students make. We have an architecture industrial design competition that was started by Rosa and Carlos de la Cruz, who said, let's have a competition at the end of the year to motivate the students and a competition where everyone wins. They win at different levels because there are winners, but there are no losers. And Rosa and Carlos make sure of that. They have joined with the Knight Foundation to make this even bigger and better. And without that kind of support, without the Craig Robbins and the Rosa de la Cruz and the Knight Foundation and the wonderful people who stand behind DASH, we would not be the school that we are. So I have to give them a shout out. I have to. They've been good to us.
Dr. Stacy Mancuso is the principal of the Design and Architecture Senior High School, or DASH. And we're going to take a short break on today's topical currents. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Thursday's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We continue our conversation with Dr. Stacy Mancuso. She's the principal of DASH, also known as the Design and Architecture Senior High School. Dr. Mancuso, from what I get to gather from what you're saying, there's so many varieties of expression at the school that a student may go there because they're really interested in architecture, but wind up getting really absorbing into filmmaking. Or some other genre.
It happens occasionally. I would say with architecture, those little guys know they want to, and girls, we have many girl architects, know they want to be an architect when they're four. It's quite interesting. But there are other kids who just sort of, you know, want to dabble. So we have a foundation year where they can see it all and then make their choice. And only occasionally do they want to switch into another program once they've selected the program of choice.
What year of high school do they usually come to your school?
Ninth grade. And they graduate with a year of college because we have a fabulous advanced placement program and dual enrollment program with FIU, who has been our partner for 25 years. Shout out to FIU.
So they're getting college credits.
Oh, yes.
In high school.
Yes.
So let me ask you, the area itself, the design district, which you say is so germane, its location to the school, has changed dramatically.
A bit.
Well, yeah, just a bit. Yes. So has the transformation been all good for Dash?
Yes. If I had to say yes or no, I'd say yes. It is so important that by osmosis, they see these showrooms and say, someday, that's going to be me. I got an email from a former student who said, I said, in my interview for designing the interior of IKEA. I said, you had designed an interior of IKEA. You don't need to say, in your interview. I taught you better.
Talk about some of the great success stories. I mean, there are so many, I know, but maybe if you could just...
I could rattle on and on. Okay. Christopher Benjamin, senior designer above all designers for Chrysler. That's prior to Volvo and Mercedes. They got him out of college. They wanted this kid to quit college to come to work for him. Esteban Cortazar, you all know, who was the senior designer for Ungaro for a while because they wanted to add a youthful taste to it. Orhan Salelli designed a capsule that you can live in. It's a housing capsule that floats. It's his patent. It's his thing.
We may need it in South Florida.
Yes, yes. I would say it'd have a lot of business in the very near future.
Yeah,
I mean, I could go on and on. There are so many. And they go, they're recruited from company to company to company because they rise to the top. I guess we should call our kids Cream.
Rises to the top. What about the school board?
School board's been great. Thank you, school board. I have to tell you, they know that we're different. They know I'm different and my staff is different. And they respect the uniqueness of the way we operate.
I hope that is
clear to everyone who has helped me, starting with Alberto Carvalho and all the way down, because when they get a call from Stacy Mancuso, they know it's going to be a weird one.
Such as what? Give us an example of why it's unique and how your requests are different than others.
Well, just our partnerships. You know, hello, school board. Craig Robbins would like to put $1 million fence in front of the school. Any problem with that? Have Craig come to the school board meeting. Done. You know, I mean, that's a thing. But what they've done for students is beyond what I could say on this show. Can I stay on to midnight?
Well, you can start.
But they've just been extremely, extremely supportive and positive with us, even though we operate from a different venue. We just... do things quite differently, and we don't break any rules. We're careful for that, but we're different. We are not a uniform school. We never will be. If the kids can't wear hats, their dreadlocks will fall into the paint.
For decades, there's been pressures on public school systems to stress the three R's, to not be spending a lot of taxpayer dollars on what some people might say are more superfluous things in education.
Like the arts.
But Dash is certainly something that really counters that view and shows that the overall student has as much importance as the three R's. And
well, we have proof. We have 8 students into Cooper Union, 6 into Cornell, 3 into Penn, you know. And I sit back and try to analyze why. Why do they do this? It's a teaching, for one. We do an extreme amount of data analysis on every single child because we can, because we're 550. And that's something very important to keep in mind. Keep your school small. The other thing is, these students must be already driven to do what they have to do just to get to the school. They're not going to let a reading score or a math score get in their way. Our teachers design and provide incredible tutorial programs because, as we know, it's all academic. Even the arts is academic. And people don't want to hear that. But I know that because I'm an art teacher. And it's all looking, seeing, thinking, and knowing you can do it.
So what do you say about, you know, it's a good point Joe brings up, you know, the whole movement away from art in schools and the focus on technology and the fact that...
Employment.
Yeah, and, you know, just getting a job right away and not being a starving artist. I mean, obviously, not all artists are starving, but...
I was, because that was a different era.
Right.
The new trend is when you go to CBS, NBC, Yahoo... Hire the artist, you know, hire the MFA, not the MBA. We all know that. We've read that recent literature. It's the artist who can think in new directions and make things happen.
Is Margarita Ramos a student?
She's a, no. She is the president of the Dash PTSA.
Okay, I just want to, I was on her Facebook page when I was going
looking.
And yes. Here's what she wrote. She said, "Thank you, Dr. Stacy Mancuso, for making Dash the school for future artists, architects, filmmakers, industrial designers, and graphic designers. You put Dash on the map in the art world."
It's on the map. I happen to be the principal, but I certainly didn't do it alone. I have a faculty and staff who stood beside me. We held hands because in the beginning, it wasn't like that. We held hands and pushed forward. Every year, a little more, and, you know, raise the bar just a bit so that we could make significant change in the school and at the same time not hurt the integrity of what originally existed there.
Do you still have time to be a practicing artist? Are you still practicing your art?
I sure do. I'm meeting someone for dinner tonight to plan a show.
Briefly, could you touch on your friend and someone who served many, many years in the school system here, Jackie Hinchey-Sipes and Dash?
Jackie Hinchey-Sipes, this is little known, lived across the street from me. And we have been friends since I moved to Florida in 1981. And when she was talking about starting this school, we would have lemonade in the back of her yard. And we would discuss, you know, the possibilities. And different things that we knew, different perspectives that we brought, me as a fine artist and she as an art educator, to the possibility. So Jackie worked hard, along with Glenn Bidelshees and Mary Hartley, to put this proposal together. And it wasn't what it is now, but it got it started. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God bless her. She's looking down on us now.
What's the future for Dr. Stacy Mancuso?
I'm going to be fine. I am going to continue to work with children and with children in the arts, and I'm going to work harder because, I'll announce it.
Okay, go ahead. We weren't going to.
I am actually retiring from the school board.
We just wanted to open the door a little bit.
On January 31st, but I'm not retiring from anything else. In fact, I've had too much rest in this 3 weeks. I need to gear up.
So that means 17 days.
Yeah, it does. But, well, you know, I'm not dead yet.
And you'll be able to have a lot more time with your art?
No, I probably won't, because I think I will work harder to support the art of students. I really do. I think that this is not the end. This is just another beginning.
Well, we want to thank you. Dr. Stacy Mancuso is still the principal of Dash.
I'm surprised it's her first visit on the program.
Yeah, me too, really. Well, we really are glad that you could be here. And
this was great for me. I love to talk about Dash.
Well, it's such a passion. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you both.
And all
You've
the
been
best.
Wonderful. Your questions were perfect.
Food and Dining, up next.
And welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Well, Food and Dining Thursday has arrived. That means Linda Gassenheimer and Fred Tasker are with us, of course. And, well, today's topic is just a little different.
I guess so, Bonnie. I don't think we've ever discussed dirt before on the program.
Well,
not in 17 years.
No, well, that's the topic with a unique spin on it. Tell us more, Linda.
I will tell you more. But okay. First, hi, Joe and Bonnie and
hi.
Fred. Did you resolve to eat right and keep fit this year? Did you? Bonnie's nodding her head. Joe's not looking like, what are you talking about? Well, we're halfway through January. So how's it going?
Perfect.
Oh, well, I expect it to be perfect with you, Bonnie. Maybe for other people, it's time to spice up their resolve. And our guests have some tips for us. They're from Dirt, the restaurant. Jeff LaTulip is the general manager, and he's a co-founder. So welcome, Jeff.
Hey, very excited to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And Nicole Votano is the chef at the restaurant. Welcome, Chef Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Great to have you. And they, of course, we're happy they brought food.
Yes.
Well, they sure have.
Yes,
they have. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions, your eating ones I'm talking about? Maybe you have some tips for us. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or radio at WLRN.org.
And also with us, our favorite wine guy. I'd like to hear what his resolution is.
Remember, Fred pledged a New Year's resolution. Remember, it was to drink more.
Drink more wine. Yes, we heard that. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns in the Miami Herald. And you can also read his wine column in the Saturday Miami Herald. So, Fred, do you want to defend yourself?
Are you drinking more?
You forgot that I said more variety, not more volume. Have to defend myself a little bit here. No, I'm going to talk about which is better in this context, dirty wine or clean wine. We might be surprised.
All right. Well, we're going to find out about dirt. Jeff LaTulip, dirt, it's kind of an unusual name for a restaurant, so it makes me want to say, what were you thinking?
Or is it an acronym?
No, it's not.
No. Well, it's a good question. It's the same question a lot of my family and friends asked very quizzically when I told them that I was going to name the restaurant Dirt. And that's partially, you know, why we named the restaurant Dirt, to be a little more provocative and say, you know, why would somebody name a restaurant that, or what exactly does that place sell? But basically what we do, you know, the name is Dirt and our tagline is Eat Clean. So we wanted to, in a very simple way, three words, three syllables, 12 letters, tell the customer what the concept is. And it's a healthy vegetable forward concept, and vegetables come from the dirt.
Okay. So
That's it in a nutshell.
And the restaurant is very clean. I've been there.
Yeah. And so there's a contrast when you walk in the door to a place called Dirt, and you walk in and it's clean. It's very clean. It's very bright, airy, and light. But all the food is kind of centered in stuff that comes from the dirt.
And it's on Miami Beach near below Fifth.
Right. It's on Fifth between Collins and Washington.
Okay. And so you call the restaurant Fine Food Served Fast. So what did you mean by that?
Really, what we were trying to do is in a fast casual setting, bring fine quality, fine dining level food to that setting and that price point. So we're a little more higher price than what you would normally get at Panera or Chipotle, but we have a lot of the same quality ingredients that you would get in an upscale casual or a fine dining restaurant at a price point of generally $12 to $15 for a dish.
And all the food's healthy and clean. Well, let's find out more about the food. Huh. Okay, so Chef Nicole, I have four menus in front of me. They have titles on them. One says Eat Clean, another one says Vegan, another one says Gluten Free, and another one says Paleo. So what are they based on?
The different menus are based on people's different dietary preferences. So we like to give options to everybody and make them not have to look through the entire menu to find out what works for them. Instead, we'd prefer to give them a menu that they can look at and just have options that are put there for them. there are several options for people with any kinds of preferences, because most of the food is based in vegetables, which all of those different types of groups of people
eat. The paleo?
Even the paleo has a lot of vegetables. It also obviously has a good amount of protein. But
club in a fire?
I have to tell you something. They have something called dirty steak. And it's dirty steak. And I was kind of surprised to see steak on your style of menu. So what's up with that?
Well,
and it was delicious, by the way. I had some.
Because there are so many different dietary preferences, like, we want to make sure that people who eat meat also feel comfortable and have options when they come to our restaurant. So we serve a grass-fed beef, and we, on that sandwich, was our dirty steak and cheese sandwich. It's mixed with peppers and onions, kind of like our take on a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, but done with really high quality ingredients.
Okay, so now Joe's listening.
I just had a wrap. You said this wrap is what?
Yeah, it's a harissa hummus wrap that's going to be on our new winter menu. And it's wrapped in collard greens instead of being wrapped in like a wrap that would be made out of flour. And it has haricot vert and a little bit of cucumber to cool it down, some olive oil, some local tomatoes.
So that's green
it's
beans.
It's really
green
delicious.
Beans and hot harissa?
Yes.
And that's mixed into the hummus?
Yeah, there's a little bit of harissa in the
hummus.
It's
spicy, a little bit.
Just a little bit. That's what I was telling Linda earlier, that if you get just the hummus by itself, it's quite spicy. But if you get it in balance with everything else that's in there, it's just enough.
Mm-hmm. Do you make your own hummus there?
We do.
Wow. Okay. And so, and also, one of my favorite things, I'm going to explain. I have to explain it to people. I've got a picture of it, and the picture is going to go up on the website, on Facebook and on Instagram and all, so you can see the pictures. But the salad is beautiful. Tell us what the salad is.
That's our Dirt by Hugo Fresh bowl. That was actually a collaboration with Matt Sherman from Hugo Fresh. He is a customer of ours and a good friend, and he told us some of his favorite ingredients, and we put it all together to make a winter bowl. It has toasted quinoa and a winter squash and cashew puree. And then it has a little bit of cranberries and zucchini. And it has pumpkin seeds for a little crunch on top.
And what's this with ACU on it here?
That's an apple cider vinaigrette.
Ah, okay.
It's already on the salad?
There's a little bit on there.
But there's more.
And then I put a little more on the side because some people like more acid.
Raisins and
cranberries.
They're cranberries. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's got the orange color of the
butternut squash.
The butternut squash and the spinach, the green from the spinach, and that flavor from toasting the quinoa. Now, give us some tips what we can do at home if we want to eat clean.
I think that the most important thing is to know where your food is coming from. Using as much as you can local products is very important. And if you want to take away a little bit of the fat but keep the flavor in it, adding herbs and spices is very important. Or doing things like toasting your quinoa brings out a little bit of nutty flavor.
Well, so when you're toasting it, how do you do that?
In a pot, you put olive oil, and then you just put it in there and let it get a little bit brown.
Or after?
Before. Let it get a little bit brown, and then you add the same amount of liquid that you normally would. But it really heightens the flavor of any kind of grain that you would do. I do it with farro also. You can even do it with rice.
Now, what puts the pizzazz in this butternut squash puree?
There is a little bit of nutmeg and a little bit of coriander, but it's really the fact that the butternut squash is in season right now, so it's very very sweet and at the height of its, you know, of its potential that it has to be delicious.
You know, toasting the quinoa kind of makes it almost has a smoked flavor.
Exactly.
You know, it's really powerful.
And so you can do that at home so easily. And of course, quinoa has a lot of protein in it.
It does.
Before I get back to Jeff, I just have another question for you. You have nutritional analysis on the menu
yes.
for every item, so people can know exactly what they're having. So What controls do you have to make sure, the recipe is made to your exact formula each time?
Well, our cooks are highly trained, and we take a lot of time talking to them about portion control and making sure that they're putting the right amount of everything in each dish. We took a lot of times designing the dishes and making sure that they have, you know, the right amount of flavors in them to make them balanced, and so we're very careful when we put them together.
So that everybody gets the exact amount.
Exactly.
And Jeff LaTulip, this concept, explain what happens when you get to the restaurant, because it's not the usual sit-down restaurant.
Sure, it's more of a counter service, fast casual format. So the first thing to notice when you walk in is, to your left, there's a huge copper wall, and it has a big map of the state of Florida and a smaller map of the world. And we actually show on that map, we have these little orange acrylics which show where all the food is coming from. So, you know, one of our core values is honesty and transparency, and we want, when the customer walks in, for them to see exactly what we're getting, who we're getting it from, and what we're getting from them. And then you walk up to the counter, you can grab a menu. We have four different digital menu boards where you can see the menu as well. You place your order at the counter, you pay, we give you a table number, and then you sit down, we bring the food out to you. So it's a higher touch, fast casual experience. So there's a little more table service than you would normally get at other traditional fast casual
fast
restaurants.
Foods, right.
Right.
So, and that's how you're able to keep the price down and make clean food somewhat affordable.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to take a break now. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guests today are Jeff LaTulip and Chef Nicole Votano, and they're from Dirt the Restaurant. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guests today are from the Dirt Restaurant. Jeff LaTulip is the general manager and co-founder, and Chef Nicole Votano is with us. And we're talking about the fact that some of you may have waned from your eating New Year's resolutions to eat right and keep fit, and they've been giving us some tips on how to spice up our food and make food taste great that happens to be good for us too. So now it's dinner in minutes time. And this dinner in minutes is one that is budget friendly as well as healthful. And it's mussels and garlic tomato broth. Now, mussels are really easy to make at home, and I think a lot of people don't because they just don't know how to do it. And so when you buy them in the store, take them home, keep them in your refrigerator until you're ready to cook them. Then you just wash them with a little brush in cold water and scrape off the beard. It's called the beard. Those are the little thin hairs along the side of the shell. Now, if any of the mussels are open, just tap them gently. If they don't close, you throw them out. They probably will close. You saute some onion, some garlic, some celery, some cubes of fresh tomatoes for about 5 minutes. Then I add a little white wine. Bring that to the boil and add the mussels, and you cover your pan and cook it for about maybe 3 minutes. You might want to shake the pan just slightly. Take it off the heat and discard any of the mussels that don't open, but then you spoon the mussels into your bowl and then you pour the broth over that and then serve it with some nice brown rice. And I use the microwavable brown rice. It only takes 16 seconds in the microwave. It's really simple, easy recipe. Family-friendly recipe, if you want to introduce it to your family, that is. The recipe is from my book, Delicious One-Pot Dishes, and you can see the complete recipe in a photo. That's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Okay, Fred Tasker, you redeemed yourself, I think, with your New Year's resolution, I think.
That was a close one.
Yeah, I knew that. What are you drinking?
Well, you're talking about clean food, so Linda actually suggested that I talk about clean wine. And I can report to you today that wine is cleaner today than it ever has been. In fact, some people think it's too clean. Now, traditional wine lovers used to prize some French red wines for the funky flavors that complemented their fruity qualities. Winemakers considered it a compliment when their wine was described as earthy or smelling of forest floor or even barnyardy. But it's understood now that a lot of these flavors were caused by spoiled grapes and dirty barrels, and we just got talked into the idea that they were great flavors.
So is that a rag on French wines? That's not today, right?
Well, on old ways of making wine.
Okay.
Everywhere, actually, if I shouldn't be picking out the French. But years ago, I saw what caused this. I was in a Bordeaux chateau in France. And when 1 p.m. arrived, the workers simply stopped the bottling line and went off for a nice two-hour French lunch. And they left open the bottles that hadn't yet been corked for any random fruit fly to dive in for a sip.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, lovely. And in Portugal in the 1970s.
Hello, we've lost Fred for a minute. Well, we'll come back to Fred. Disconnection. Maybe it's snowing up in Michigan. Maybe that's what
he was on Portugal in the 1970s.
Okay, so sorry, we've got him back. Oh, Fred, good. Are you back?
Oh, yeah. Did I go away?
Yeah, you went away. It wasn't your fault. We were blaming the snow up there. But you started talking about Portugal in the 70s, and we lost you.
Oh, yeah. In Portugal in the 70s, I was at a winery, and I'm watching the grapes arrive, and they came in open carts with wooden wheels pulled by donkeys, and they traveled many miles over hours or days in the summer heat, deteriorating all the time. So that would account for some of it as well. But then in the 1980s, California led the way in cleanliness that eventually became a worldwide obsession. Growers go to great length. If the weather is hot at harvest time, I've seen them do this. They bring portable lights to the vineyards and pick all night, and then pack the grapes into air-conditioned trucks and get them to the winery as quickly as they can to escape the heat. And the barrels they use for aging have to be absolutely immaculate. They're cleaned by citric acid, then hydrogen peroxide, then sulfur dioxide. And then the barrels are toasted. Actually, they shoot open flames inside the barrels and char the wood. And this burns off any off flavors in the wood and actually caramelizes it. And it gives the wine a nice toasty oak flavor. Now, today we're at the point where some traditional wine makers accuse American wines of being too clean, having their old-fashioned funky flavors that they used to love stripped away and making the wines kind of boring and one-dimensional. But I suppose in the end, clean wine is a good thing, and wine science has reached the point where you seldom buy a wine that's flawed. You might not like the wine, but it will be a matter of personal taste. It's very unlikely the wine will be flawed or dirty.
Or dirty. Well, at Dirt Restaurant, they do have wine there. So, Jeff La Tulip, what kind? We know you have clean wine.
Definitely.
Tell us about your wine.
Sure. We have five different sustainable wines in addition to four local craft beers. But the wine and the beer are both in keeping with our concept of having sourcing high quality products that are sustainable and kind of fit the overall concept. So we have a sparkling, a rosé. Two reds and a white, and
so
they're
just
all from.
Covers the field like that. Now yeah. I'm drinking something else here, Fred. We're drinking. Bonnie's made a face.
No, I'm not a face. It just what no, it was a question.
What are we drinking here? It's the white one.
You're drinking our spice nut milk. We're serving it right now during January. It has kind of a chai spice, and it's an almond Brazil nut milk, and it has a little bit of wildflower honey. And $1 of the proceeds from selling that drink goes to Feeding South Florida, which feeds 6 children.
I suppose that's not alcoholic, right?
It's not, but you could definitely make a good eggnog type of drink if you added some rum to it.
Yeah, it's very spicy.
Could I come to your restaurant and get a dirty martini?
It kind of tastes like tea. Is that the chai?
It is. It's the chai spices. And the spice is actually a little bit of ginger juice that's in it.
The ginger makes it really.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes it.
It has
good.
A bite for
bite.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's nice to know that some of the proceeds do go to some charity. We have a phone call here. Joe, line one. Hello, Vince. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Long time listener, first time caller. Questions for Jeff. Jeff, is it La Tulip or La Tulipe?
La Tulip is fine.
Oh, I'm actually calling in. I ate at your restaurant just the other day. It was fantastic. Love the food. Can't tell enough people about it. I had a quick question for you, though. With all the food truck being a craze, I was wondering, might we expect to see a dirt food truck along the strip anytime soon?
You never know. We've talked about a lot of different things, maybe doing a little... bicycle or juice cart or something like that along the Ocean Drive Strip to feed some people who might be hungry or thirsty on the beach and don't feel like walking in off the beach.
That's me, so exactly. That's why I was wondering. It's far enough that when I'm laying on the beach, I think, man, I want to get down there and get some food from dirt. And sometimes I just don't want to get up, and I think, man, I wish they had a truck or a bicycle that would just come along here.
Well, for now, you can call the restaurant, and I'd be happy to personally bring it to you on the beach.
Oh, wow. I might take you up on that, sir.
Well, also, you do deliver.
We do deliver. We use two third-party delivery services, Delivery Dudes and Postmates. Delivery Dudes, their website is southbeach.deliverydudes.com, and they deliver from 1st to 50th on the beach, and we use Postmates, and they'll pretty much go wherever you would like.
Okay. Well, we only have about a minute left, but I can't leave without talking about dessert, because I had some delicious desserts at Dirt, and were they really healthy?
Our desserts are definitely a splurge. They're not low calorie, but they are made with very carefully sourced ingredients, and all of them have some sort of health factor thought into them. But they're definitely a splurge. We figure if you're going to try that hard to make the right choice with your meal, you might want to have a little splurge at the end of it.
Well, I enjoyed the splurge part.
Thank you.
Okay, well, it's really been a very tasty week.
It has. Thank you so much.
Bonnie's happy day. She loves this kind of food. Jeff LaTulip, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us. I really appreciate it.
And Chef Nicole Votano, thank you, and for bringing this very delicious food.
Thank you. We hope to see you again soon, Linda.
Okay. Dirt Restaurant is located at 232 5th Street on Miami Beach. That's between, what is it?
It's between Washington and Collins.
Okay. And you're open all day?
Yep, we're open every day, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Bonnie Berman and Joe Cooper.
Delicious. Really good.
Really delicious. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
And we want to know if you're sticking to this variety of wine.
Oh, yeah. I've had two or three already this morning.
Glad to hear that. Well, next week we're going to be talking with Chef Alan Susser and Fairchild Gardens' Richard Campbell about their chocolate festival. So it's going to be chocolate heaven here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And we hope you enjoyed the hour. We certainly did. Our design and architecture segment produced by Polly Landis. Also assistance from lead producer Richard Ives. Our technical direction and website and Facebook pages created by Paul Leary.
Yes, we have free audio archives for download at WLRN.org. Follow the radio link. Also, more information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page.
The next Topical Currents is Monday at 1 o'clock. Bonnie and I visit with the author of The Good News About What's Bad For You.
And The Bad News About What's Good For You. But it's actually Tuesday, not Monday. That's right. Martin Luther King special on Monday.
Tuesday. So is that yin and yang?
Sort of.
The best of times, the worst of times. That's Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, Fred Tasker. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.